Science, learning, business, community. You. Welcome to ThinkWorks, the podcast for people who like to think, because thinking is the hardest work there is. Come with us on a journey into the world of ideas with your host, Darren Smithson.
Hello and welcome to ThinkWorks, the place where we do all the heavy lifting when it comes to thinking. And this week's episode is entitled The Systems I Use That Don't Look Like Systems. Let's talk about this. So systems, when you talk about systems, people have a general idea of what they think their systems, these systems should be. They usually think of things like color-coded hyper-productivity dashboards or military-grade morning routines, you know, wake up at 4 a.m. and crush the day culture or optimization obsession. But honestly, most of the systems that actually help me function don't look particularly impressive from the outside. In fact, many of them look almost boring, but they work. And over time, I've realized something really important, that systems that save you don't often feel like systems at all. They just feel like rhythms. And I think this matters because modern culture has become obsessed with visible productivity while quietly ignoring sustainable consistency. This strange thing that just happens online now where people don't just share outcomes anymore. They share optimization theater. Everything has to be perfect. Perfect workspaces, perfect routines, perfect journals, perfect calendars, perfect morning systems, perfect CEO routines. And after a while, the productivity itself starts becoming performance. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that organization doesn't matter, because it does. Planning definitely matters. And structure, crucially, also matters. But I think many people end up feeling overwhelmed because they assume successful people are operating inside these gigantic, flawless systems that never break down. And the truth is, most aren't doing that. Most people who consistently create meaningful work are actually relying on much quieter things. They rely on repeatable rhythms, manageable habits, protected focus time, reduced friction, simple routines that they can sustain. And that's a very different thing from life optimization culture. And honestly, it's healthier too. Now, I'm coming from having to manage my F&D, which can just, the kind of hammer blows it can cause into any kind of grandiose platform that I want to work within. It's immense because day to day I never know which set of symptoms are going to show up and how bad those symptoms will be. So I have a cycle of symptoms. They're never exactly in the same order. So it's not like I can predict that, this has just happened, so next this is going to happen. I have the same symptoms over and over again, but I don't necessarily have them in the same order. And I also don't have them at the same intensity. Sometimes they're mild, easily manageable. Other times my legs can just give way under me and I can't get up. It's as simple as that. So I have to be creative in the way that I approach my day-to-day work in particular, but also my day-to-day life, because it affects that as well. And this is what I'm talking about. If I was trained to live within this massive, perfect ecosystem of supporting systems that look great, and I can do all these kind of videos on it, and I can Instagram me doing this particular planning technique, I just wouldn't get anything done. It's as simple as that. I have to rely on quiet habits and quiet support systems that help me on the days or in those hours when I'm struggling because of the neurological disorder. I'm going to give you a practical example. So ThinkWorks itself, this entire thought process that I did when I set up the ThinkWorks podcast, it is in itself a system. But it doesn't feel like one anymore because the rhythm has become normal. Monday, promote the podcast. Tuesday, take a bite Tuesday. Wednesday, blog momentum. Thursday, the conspiracy post. Friday, reality check. That structure matters enormously because it removes a huge amount of decision fatigue. I'm not constantly asking, what should I create today? Because the rhythm already exists. Now, obviously, life interrupts things sometimes. Energy changes, family happens, work happens, exhaustion happens. But the existence of the rhythm itself creates momentum. And momentum is incredibly important because motivation is unreliable. Rhythm, however, is not. And the same thing applies to writing. What I've discovered is that people often imagine writers sitting around waiting for inspiration to descend from the heavens like some magical lightning bolt. And yeah, that occasionally that might happen, but mostly writing is rhythm. Showing up, thinking, making notes, returning to ideas, expanding fragments, building structure carefully and slowly over time. Conspiracy, the new book, didn't appear because I disappeared into a mountain cave and emerged with enlightenment. It emerged because I kept returning to the work consistently, quietly, repeatedly, imperfectly. That matters because modern culture massively underestimates the power of unsexy consistency. Everybody wants transformation. Very few people want repetition. And yet repetition is where most real progress lives. The crucial point about these systems is that they should reduce stress. This is one of the biggest lessons I've learned over the years. A good system should reduce cognitive load, not increase it. If your productivity system is complicated so much that managing the system itself becomes a second job, you've probably built something that is performative instead of practical. The systems that generally help me tend to be simple, repeatable, forgiving, and flexible enough for real life. And that last part really matters because real life is, whether you want to admit it or not, real life is messy. Some days you're focused, some days you're exhausted. Some days family come first. Sometimes everything catches fire all at once. Rigid systems often collapse under real human conditions, but flexible rhythms survive because you can fall back on those when times are hard and tough. And when, you know, when hours are particularly, things are going wrong, fall back on these quiet systems, these habits that can get you through that. Because a lot of the time, survival matters more than perfection. And there is an invisible power within repetition. I think it's one of the most underrated forces in human life, this idea of accumulated repetition. Small actions repeated consistently become identity surprisingly quickly. Not overnight, not dramatically, but quietly. And that's true for writing, fitness, relationships, thinking, creativity, emotional resilience, business building. Most meaningful things are not built from explosive bursts of intensity. They're built around sustained return. That idea of coming back again and again and again, even imperfectly, and actually I would say especially imperfectly. Because honestly, I think people need to hear this more often because modern culture keeps teaching people that if progress doesn't look dramatic, it somehow doesn't count. But quiet progress is still progress, an invisible progress, i.e. you're not shouting about it, you're not putting it on Instagram. Invisible progress is nevertheless still progress. Now, all this idea links back to the episodes I've done on quiet systems in the last couple of weeks, because the systems that save you usually aren't flashy, as we've said. They're the ones that still work on difficult days, They help you reduce friction, they support consistency, they lower overwhelm, and they create a calm momentum. And importantly, they allow you to remain human, because I think a lot of modern productivity culture accidentally treats people like machines, and machines can be broken. You need to optimize harder, you need to scale harder, you need to push harder, you need to do more. At the heart of it all, human beings are rhythmic creatures. We function better with cycles, routines, recovery, breathing space, emotional variation within that, and yes, we need to have some flexibility. But systems that ignore all those things, or even just a couple of those things, often end up burning people out. It's the story of the woodcutter and the saw. And, you know, cutting down trees is being given a task, 20 trees, you know, a day. And he sets off on the first 2 days, he does 20 trees a day. On the third day, he's down to 15. And on the fourth day, he's down to 10 anyway. Someone's walking by, sees the woodman frantically working his socks off into late into the night, trying to get these trees cut down. And he says, well, why don't you just sharpen your saw? And the woodcutter says, I'm too busy cutting down trees. Whereas if it had taken the time, rested, sharpened the saw, he could have done the activity much more readily and with more balance in what he was trying to do. So when people ask me what systems do you use, my honest answer is probably simpler than they expect. I use recurring creative rhythms, theme days, protected writing windows, ongoing idea capture. The journal is never not with me. I always have a journal and pen so that if I get an idea, I can quickly jot it down. Consistent visual branding, repeatable content structures. You know, I take the materials that I've done for talks, for books, for white papers, for scripts, blogs, and I can interchange the information within all those to create another part of what I need to do, because the material is there, it just needs adapting. So it's that kind of thinking and that kind of approach. And above all, flexible planning rather than rigid scheduling. And perhaps most importantly, I try to reduce unnecessary friction wherever possible, because friction kills momentum. The easier it is to restart something, the more likely you are to continue doing it long term. And that matters far more than having the world's most impressive productivity dashboard. Trust me on that one. And I think this is the deeper lesson underneath all of this. You do not need a perfect system. You need a survivable one. A system that still works when life gets noisy, when energy dips, when motivation disappears, when things don't go to plan. Because consistency built on unrealistic expectations eventually collapses. But consistency built around reality, that lasts. And over time, lasting beats intensity almost every single time. So maybe the goal isn't becoming more optimized. Maybe the goal is becoming more sustainable, becoming more intentional, more repeatable, more forgiving, more human, because the systems that genuinely change your life often don't look dramatic from the outside. They just keep quietly working. And that's it. That is the point of all of this. And if I can help anyone manage their approach to how they manage their day in terms of the items that they do, the actions that they do, and the systems that they put in place to help them do those actions, just keep it simple. Do what is sustainable for you. In other words, yes, I know if you're working for someone else, it's not always easy, but even within that, you could build in systems in your daily routine, even when your objectives are being set by someone else, i.e. you're working for someone else. You could still set up routines to help you deliver against that and then manage everything outside of that environment to make your life easier and more stress-free, which I think is something we can all agree we need to do a lot more of, i.e. create more stress-free hours, more stress-free days than we currently seem to be able to do in this this productivity obsession that doesn't really understand how to be productive on a sustainable level. I just fries my brain that people still don't understand this. And certainly in the UK, you see everywhere in management teams, you see it in so-called business gurus, you see it in government policy, you see it in these CEOs that burn their entire company down literally because they break the machine. And that machine is their people. They don't treat them like people. They treat them as assets, you know, as commodities. If they break, we'll just replace them. And, you know, that kind of thinking is why productivity is so bad. And it's a theme I keep coming back to. And I will keep coming back to it until people listen and understand the only way we are going to actually start to improve productivity is by appreciating the people that are delivering that productivity outcome or output. Please listen. Right, so that's the end of this episode. As always, there'll be a corresponding post in the community group. If you go to darreninform.com and the ThinkWorks community page is there. There's three doors. Click on ThinkWorks Recent. You'll find that there is a post that goes along with this episode for you to come and share your views and ask any questions, or if you need me to explain something else in particular that I didn't do particularly well just now. Right then, thanks everyone, and I'll see you next week. And in the meantime, everyone, just keep asking questions. And have a look at the systems and processes that you're using in your life, and wherever possible, make them simple and sustainable, and throw away the complicated color-coded dashboard that is, you know, taking half a day for you to even just set it up. That's not a simple system, a quiet system that is sustainable long-term. It's a distraction from being able to move things forward because you're so busy on the process and the system that you're not actually looking at the outcome that you want to achieve. Until next time, take care, and I'll see you soon.
Thank you for listening to ThinkWorks. Don't forget you can join in the conversation by visiting darreninform.com/community and finding the corresponding post for this episode. You've been listening to ThinkWorks, a podcast for thinkers.